Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get an ad-free edition of the HLS podcast, plus get a weekly bonus episode recapping the national picture, make sure you head over to patreon.com/ndtex. Again, that is patreon.com/ndtex. You will also get some other exclusive content in the form of posts every week as well. So make sure to join our Patreons, including new Patreons Stacy F. and Shane P. No, not the other Shane that podcasts with me. This is a different one. But make sure you join them as well as all of our other Lowell Patreons. Thank you all for your support. And welcome to yet another Victory Edition of the HLS Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me ND Tex. As always, you can subscribe to this little pod while it lasts over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Special Sim coming Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Central. You can find that on twitch.tv/herlittlesons. HerLittleSons.com/Discord to chat it up with us. And of course, you can always find us at HerLittleSons.com for at least a couple more months. And with that said, it is time to bring in, fresh off of his debut on the verbal line.
Yep.
Oh, man. Shane, you were feeling spicy if you're calling it the solid verbal. That was a fun surprise I got on the early access today.
I'm at the point now where I, too, feel like I graduated from Notre Dame on Saturday because, for fuck's sake, the party was just being had by all. So, I decided I was feeling the vibes, 55 to nothing. What better time to call the reverb line for the first time to express my adulation, my adoration for the 55-point monster burger dropped by the freshman fiesta upon this Georgia Tech team.
Yeah, apparently we were talking pre-show. They cut out a few digs at a Dan, but they still got the freshman fiesta in there.
Yep. They made sure to make sure I didn't give them too much grief about the Ducks because I'm pretty sure everyone else did that for me. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was, wow, what a game. We are going to spend a segment gloating and then segment just going wherever, because there's plenty of stuff to talk about, but it's not breaking this game down. So we're going to have a hell of a lot of fun. We will very briefly go over the game because, holy shit, Shane, Notre Dame still has yet to give up a touchdown in the month of November. Notre Dame's defense, in fact, has outscored all of their opponents. Their defense has outscored all of their opponents in the month of November. I don't care who you're playing right now. This is some dominating shit. There were very little mistakes to be mad about. I think Buckner kind of had another little freshman forcing stuff at the end of the game, had another little adventure and fumbling, but recovered it. Beyond that, there was a sloppy first drive, and it felt like the sim. We're like, oh, God, we did good. Now we're going to have sell for a field goal. Thank Christ he made it. Then after that, it was just touchdown, 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 touchdown.
Yeah, so I don't want to take credit because I had nothing to do with this game on the field. But I will say that for the first drive, I was on my way home from a Friendsgiving celebration. So my eyes, my agency of witnessing this experience was not quite applied to the game. So they were doing their casual, march down the field. Great kickoff return I saw. Shit's marching down and then the casual, usual sputtering out field goal thing. And then as soon as my eyes tuned into the game, touchdowns were basically incessant after that point. It was pretty amazing.
It was absolutely incredible. Kyren Williams, I'm glad there actually was not a prop for how many yards he would get because I would have lost. The TDs, though, he got. And the only reason Kyren didn't get a whole bunch of yards is there just weren't that many to get because everybody was getting some. It was
everybody.
So much fun. Multiple plays over 21 yards, multiple plays over 40 yards, multiple plays over 50 yards. And folks, we even had a quarterback run for damn near 70 yards.
Yeah, on one fucking play, basically.
How do you do, Mr. Buckner? 68-yard yeah. run. Unbelievable. But yeah, then the defense just ate. Oh, my God, did they eat. 6 sacks, 10 tackles for loss, and a big old ice bath for poor Yates, who I don't know why Jordan was still out there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Or Gibbs. Like,
yeah. when I, you know, I, obviously you it's D1 ball, so you hesitate to say anything about, like, oh, once it's halftime and the score's already, you know, what it was, which is what, 34 to nothing or whatever the fuck. Oh, no, it was 45 to nothing at the half. Like, mm-hmm. at that point, you kind of just, like, you kind of have to look at up and down your depth chart and say, like, there's probably an opportunity for somebody else to take this one on the chin. You know what I mean? Like, there's probably an opportunity just for them to get the motions at game speed. You know, they're probably not going to sub their twos or threes in until the end of the third. So, like, we can at least get some guys some real reps against the real team. And, you know, they can understand, you know, why they're at in the depth. You could just make a coaching decision in general for the greater picture. I know Jeff Collins has... This is his third year. He kind of has the one mulligan year because he showed up in year one, then COVID, now year three. So it's like kind of, I get that there's like a fairness sandwich happening here.
I don't know what he's been doing though.
But dude, right? What have you been doing? Because that is like, first and foremost, y'all need to fire your offensive coordinator. That shit needs to be done. That shit needs to have been done because they're, I understand that you have a weapon like Jahmyr Gibbs and you want to get him involved as often as possible, but to create a single-dimensional offense when you're transitioning from a previous single-dimensional offense, I don't know how to tell you, Georgia Tech. We've seen this before. We all are familiar with this brand of you guys, so please do something different. Like that's all we're saying, and yeah, like you said, the coaching decisions to have all these starters in the fourth quarter when the game was just embarrassingly out of hand. And I mean, the two times in the game up to that point that they had threatened were just embarrassing turnovers. It's just like, at a certain point, just stop. It's okay. It's all okay. The marshmallows are in. Everyone's looking at the stands. It's more important at this point. We understand that you're on the field. We understand we have to finish the game, but we're not here for you anymore, okay? It's fine.
it was really weird because I'm like, you know, BK's waiting to empty the bench, but even though once the bench did get emptied, it was funny. It's like, oh, the linebacking core, the secondary looks the same. It's like, oh, that's right. We don't have anybody else.
That's it. The bench is empty. They're already there.
Absolutely freaking hilarious. But yeah, everybody... got quite a bit of playing time in there. BK doing the very ballsy, by the way, move of rotating holders through the game. Which never backfired once, which credit to all those guys for not only practicing, but you we're gonna shout out Cole Capen immediately so we don't forget.
Absolutely.
Because it looked like his day was made when he got to hold an extra point. And just imagine how freaked out he was and like how hard his heart was racing just to hold an extra point. And then, lo and behold, kid, you get to run out the clock at the end of the game. And it looked like I could have sworn like his smile could probably have been seen from the upper deck when he ran out into the field. And I'm like, I told my kid, it was like, why are we still watching this? I'm like, that's why right there. Because we don't usually get to see this kind of shit. This is awesome.
It's the kind of shit, the kind of plays you see only on senior day, first and foremost. But they're also the kinds of plays that make you immediately want to turn the game off and put Rudy on. You know, it's just like, it's where the energy has always been in this program. It's like in that little walk-on group, in that little support team. It's like where that heart and soul constantly beats because that's always been such a massive part of the identity of this program. But like, just to see it, not just for us, and you know, not just all of us high-fiving at home, but the actual player being like, I not only got to hold the ball, I did it right. I fucking crushed it. I held the fuck out of that ball. But then on top of that, I successfully handed that shit off. And, you know, and we killed the clock. I was the last play of the game. And, like, I got to run off the field back with everybody. Like, I wasn't in the back following you all to the alma mater. I wasn't in the back slowly tailing you to the locker room.
I wasn't signaling the plays in. I mean, that's his job, to signal the plays in.
I got to scream it at the whole line and then do it. I mean, imagine you or me. Like, that's the equivalent. It's just a guy. It's a guy that got to be on the team, isn't on scholarship. It's just a dude that loves the program, was willing to sit down and be like, I will do the academics. I'll do all the shit that I need to be. I wouldn't even take a scholarship. I just want to be part of the team. And boom, he gets to actually be in the game. That's what it's about.
Yeah, and I remember when I was back in the old Weiss era, when we did actually have another time where the seniors got to go out there. Yeah, man, it's a huge payoff. And I think the team chemistry that I could see now is even better than what I got to experience there, because it's just so infectious. You can tell from afar, which is a rarity that you can tell from afar. You usually got to be on the inside. It's like, oh man, you have no idea how tight those guys are. It's like, no. They wear it on their sleeves, man, this team. So it was incredible to get to have that moment and to see everybody really get a chance to get theirs. And yeah. I mean, as far as the game itself, though, I mean, beyond Kyren Williams having just an obsession with wanting to field one hoppers on punt returns, yeah, I really got nothing else, because that was the only thing that drove me nuts for the game. Everything else was just, it was pretty damn fun, especially MTA, man.
Yeah. Honestly, the two defensive touchdowns, both were just like, you see, it's one of those circumstances that comes up in a Notre Dame game where it's like, you don't believe it. It's happening. It's almost like, there's got to be a penalty. That's immediately my reaction. Every time I see Notre Dame, I have like a scoop and score opportunity or some kind of pick six. I'm just like, I'll wait. These are ACC refs. Let me know when the play is over so I can see the little yellow box appear at the bottom of the fucking Chiron or whatever. But no, in this particular game, it was just like, like elation after elation after different first it was the passing game. To me, it was like, this was what we could have been doing all season.
Yep.
Not to say that we played secondaries that would have allowed it, but just seeing like, just taking a screenshot of Michael Mayer being 15 yards behind the closest defender and then just waltzing down the street, like literally looking around the field in disbelief as he runs his route to the end zone, because he was just so wide open. And you know, like this, to see that kind of take place, to see Jack Cohn put that shit like right on the money multiple times in this game, like that alone was like, wow, I can feel like what maybe Brian Kelly was thinking all of this. All the preseason, like all the things he was envisioning. I was like, this is the kind of shit we can put together. We can, you know, when we're called upon, we can put together a data point for the playoff committee. You know, when we need to, we can say, Georgia did it. Well, we did it first and we did it this way. You know, like, I feel like he's always kind of had this intent to make examples of the opponents on the schedule. Yes, he knew he was transitioning to new pieces on the team, but you could kind of see that he was bought in. He was bought into the potential. And yeah, it maybe didn't quite come together, and then Cincinnati was the humbling moment. But since then, I mean, shit, man. Like, this game was a culmination of everything that this team can be dominant in for an entire game. They just did it. They were just like, here's exhibit A of what we have come to be as a program.
Absolutely. It was really, you felt like everything was clicking, and yep. Brian Kelly even mentioned it. He's like, I know people don't, you know, I don't like the style points. I don't like running up the score, but hey, you guys got it this time. And it's one of those things, it's hard to stop when nobody can stop you. And that's really what was going on here. The Irish could do absolutely no wrong. Like you said, they found Mayer, they found Austin, they found Deion Colsey even. Logan Diggs got some. Audric Estime got some. We hadn't gotten to see him yet. We got to see him freaking go out there. And again, just have the same. That's a big beast. And watching that man have a patient running style too. Like, oh my God, this is not fair. And I love it.
He ran for 61 yards in like the couple of plays he was out there. Just a couple. Like, you almost forget he was out there for maybe like, I don't know, two drives. Three drives, max.
Six carries for 61 yards, which is only five less than Kyren Williams.
Yeah, that's punishing beef. That's not just meat.
It's there's so much fun. You got to see the future. You got to see the present. You got to see the seniors. I mean, it's a young team, but you still got to see some seniors shine. MTA getting a chance to really redemption because when he was a little bit larger at the nose, he was not able to convert his attempt. Now he's still a large man, a little bit slimmer, but had quite the fumble return. And I'm screaming there, like, I'm like, go big man, get there, big man, just go.
He's going. His return, man, the sequence of his return, first the scoop. Then, if you watch that play, immediately Isaiah Foskey sees him scoop it and goes, I'm killing somebody.
Yeah, right? He's like, he is scoring on this play.
Isaiah turns around and blocks he blocks, I believe, a receiver down the field for about 30 yards, keeps him upright, and walks him down the field. And then, as he decides to let him go, a second receiver comes bulleting in from offside the screen, and Isaiah Foskey just tosses his man at him and trips both of them.
I mean, that is just incredible there. It was like getting the two for one there. You have MTA delivering a stiff arm.
Oh, it was just like when he sheds that tackle, you're like, if he can break this one, keep your balance. Then he takes that one sidestep and then stays upright. You're like, he's going to fucking score. It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome. And NBC just... Look, we give them so much shit for a lot of things. They always come through big on senior day, and this time they really got to shine because they had so much. They had to vamp. They had to pad. The wherewithal to go to MTA's mom after everything that happened to MTA this season. They showed the video of him accepting the captaincy over FaceTime. It was like, and now let's go to his mom. And you're like, oh, God.
She's
and like
be an emotional wreck.
just the sheer emotion of that, like just the elation and the oh damn, like I feel real good for him. And then to see the pure emotion from his mom, like she couldn't put words together. Like she didn't know how to describe the moment and everything. She was a mess. We were all a mess watching it. I mean, just absolutely fantastic work by NBC throughout the entire game to highlight all the guys that were out there. And I mean, it ended up turning into, there was a freshman fiesta, like you said, on the Reverb Line, Shane. But what a way to send out this senior class. This is kind of the turnaround class, if you could think about it, because they came in after the 2016 disaster. They were really the start of BK's renaissance, the start of BK 2.0. And they leave barely ever losing at home. I can't remember the last time they lost an unranked team. I don't think they've ever known what that's like.
I don't think this class lost an unranked team.
And they've gone to the playoff multiple times. They might go again. We'll talk about that later. This is, I mean, just an incredible turnaround, especially with not just the chaos that has gone around the past couple of football seasons, but also the coaches that have not withstood the test of their first three-year tenure, and here they are, and man, just absolutely awesome to see what they've done, and I can't be any happier for them. I'm thrilled for everything that they got to go through and experience yesterday. What a freaking celebration!
Yeah, honestly, like the NBC had so much like riffing to do. They were they were feeding us on Twitter, especially me, because I the way I watch the game is I'll watch it on TV and then I'll also have the laptop going because my favorite thing is screen grabbing and captioning parts of the game. Like that's just what I love to do. But they kept cutting to all the coaches, especially Tommy Rees. They kept being like, check this guy out. We love this guy. Huh? Look at him. And Tommy Rees would always be staring out the booth, staring at the thing. You know, just all business, all locked in, whatever. You know, like, never smiling, never breaking. Everybody in the background's kind of chatting, whatever. He's like, he's looking at the plays like, okay, hold on a second. I got to make sure we got to pull this one down. He's not fucking around at any point. But no, it was just... It was such a it just felt like we came to this point because of the, you know, all the shit that we've had to suffer. And yeah, I can acknowledge that this season has not been perfect. I think, you know, we would have all liked to have seen this product kind of come together before the Cincinnati game. Who knows how that game would have played out? This wouldn't even be a discussion point at this point. You know, it'd be Notre Dame, you know, two, number three at worst or whatever, and we'd be saying, please just stay there. Don't give me Georgia. Please just stay there. You know, but instead, you know, we find ourselves in a situation where we have to each week kind of stem the tide of playoff discussion because it's coming. That's a fucking awesome place to be in as a fan base. It's like we have to resist the urge to entertain a very possible outcome where Notre Dame trickles in to the playoff. That's not a bad spot to be in for, what, now the third year? You know, in the last four? That's fucking insane.
Yeah, and when we wanted to bench the quarterback, justifiably wanted to bench the quarterback that's going to lead us there, was worried if this offensive line could block anything, even these defensive units that we faced recently.
Yeah, the vaunted Toledo Rockets. Oh,
yeah, I mean... And all of a sudden, and we were like, God, is Marcus Freeman really, is he all hype? Does this guy really know what he's doing? And lo and behold, here we are. So much for a rebuilding year, huh? Here we are. We are right on the precipice of that. And yeah, I guess we're going to have a little bit more big picture talk, but we're going to have a lot of other fun riffing. I guess since we're about to get into that, Shane, it's probably time to address business before we go much further. Yeah, that business, as usual, is Home Field Apparel. I know this is an audio medium, but I am indeed wearing a Home Field hoodie right now. It is giving me as much comfort as a 55-point freshman Fiesta victory on Senior Day. And I tell you what, I know I've been encouraging the Christmas shopping early. I'm sorry I screwed up. Because lo and behold, what does Home Field send me as soon as I deliver that message? They're saying, guess what? Black Friday's coming, y'all. We're going to do some shit. What are we going to do? We're going to give everything 20% off. Yeah, folks, everything. 20% off everything. It is going to start on Black Friday and go through Cyber Monday on November 29th. You do not need a code. Like, by all means, find a way to tell them that we sent you there. But Loyal Sons only got you 15% off, and that was on your first order. Now, you no code, no anything, no first order. Just go to the site. Go to homefieldapparel.com. Perfect, perfect gifts for any sports fan in your life. Gift cards are available as well. So if you're like, oh, I don't know if they'll like this design or that design, and hey, this stuff's pricey, I don't want to, you know, guess, or I heard they're tight, maybe, no, just get the gift card, let them take care of it, it'll be all good. Stickers are coming in, more and more schools are getting released. Some the Tri-Bend gray crewnecks and oatmeal hoodies are coming back in stock, and apparently these Mad Lads over at the Good Brand are going to do some kind of competition that they still haven't told us about. They've announced it on Twitter, and I have a feeling they just came up with it this past week and are like, oh, guys, I got an idea. This is going to be freaking great. Let's do it. So there's going to be some kind of competition yet again for your favorite school. So homefieldapparel.com, 20% off starting on Friday after Thanksgiving. And of course, if you want to get your jump on it, you want to go ahead, you haven't fired away yet, you want to make sure stuff gets there early, you haven't ordered yet, Loyal Sun's still active for 15% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com. All right, Shane, well, let's go ahead and talk about... we're staring at... We are very likely going to be ranked number six come Tuesday, just by the mere fact that Michigan State got just embarrassed. Yeah. The teams above us will be in some order, Georgia, Alabama. You will also have Ohio State and Michigan, and you also have Cincinnati. It will be somewhere 1 through 5. Who cares where they land? Two of those teams have to lose.
Have to lose.
Which brings up a whole lot of interesting scenarios. It's like, oh, so is it a two-loss Bama we're talking about? How far does Michigan and or Ohio State drop after the game is done? What, pray tell, happens if the Big Ten title game goes weird? Or does or do you dare entertain the thought that really a Big 12 champion will hop Notre Dame at this point in the game, which I honestly don't see, but all that being said is all of a sudden – the complicated calculus that it would take for Notre Dame to slide into number four might be very plain as, hey, two of those teams have to lose and they only have to raise up two spots.
Yeah, it's not complicated. You know, the funny thing is it's not complicated anymore. It was complicated when Notre Dame lost to Cincinnati. It was imperceptible because Notre Dame was what? Humbled down to number 12, I think, at the time. So it was like, okay, that's a pretty long shot. You know, they're going to have a lot of damage to undo. And looking at the schedule, nobody's going to really feel good in terms of who they can beat. That's going to make it seem like they do undo some damage. You got your Purdue's, you got your Georgia Tech's, Virginia Tech's. Like, nobody impressive, right? Who the fuck are these teams? Just blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, what about Michigan and Ohio State? Because regardless, one of them is going to be two losses. Period. Right. Yep. That's a non-negotiable. Georgia and Alabama could maybe long shot stir shit up and create mutual one-loss teams, and then it's kind of those two gridlock the top three spots with, I don't know, whoever wins the Big Ten. And
I don't know, after the way Alabama's played this season, and it's right. Not like they played bad, but they're not the, oh yeah, we could definitely put a two-loss Bama. I don't think that they're not that team.
So let's do the what I think we expect to happen, right? Let's play it out. So this coming week, Michigan will lose. Okay, let's slot that because we saw what Ohio State very, very viciously and publicly did to Michigan State.
it was fucking mean. I can't wait to talk about that on the Patreon.
I don't think Michigan's going to get a better outcome. I think it's going to be a little more personal.
Oh, but did you see the opening line, though? We'll at least toss this in there.
No. What is the opening line? Is it, okay, wait. Michigan State was what, 19 points? 18 mm-hmm. points? This one is 22.
7.
Wow. Oh, okay. All right, Vegas. I hate you. I hate you. God, I hate you.
By the time I finally was able to jump on it, I got it at 8.
Yeah.
Because that thing's going only one direction.
Way, way up. Way up. Vegas, why do you do this? Okay. All right. What? You know what? Again, let's go with the scenario. So Michigan loses. They become a two-loss team. Ohio State gets elevated into the Big Ten championship game, guaranteed for sure, against Wisconsin?
Yep. Now? Wisconsin clinched it. They clinched.
Okay, so that's locked in. And then on the other side, we have Georgia and Alabama, who have one more game, Georgia Tech and whoever, and Auburn. Neither are expected to shit the bed, although, for fuck's sake, this could be what Auburn does, right? Let's lose 3 straight and then beat Alabama.
A teaser for the Patreon pod. There is going to be, because this is one of those weird weeks where we don't have as much stuff to talk about. There is some Auburn shit. Oh buddy. I got texts tangentially from Moons.
You do.
From Moons. And there is also a somewhat well-known blog personality in that sphere that I unfollowed some time ago. They had a hot take beyond all hot takes. You have to listen to the Patreon pod because, oh my God, I was reminded why I don't follow that idiot.
Take.
Oh no. This was like fucking... What level beyond nuclear could we have? Because it was fucking hilarious. That's on patreon.com/andytext. You will want to listen to it. There is some good. There is some good shit coming up.
So back to the scenario. So we got Ohio State gets a bump from beating Michigan. They're going to get a bump. So right now, Ohio State in the playoff rankings is slotted at what position? They're number 3.
As of right now, I think Ohio State should end up being 3.
I think it's 3 because they're still ahead of Cincinnati.
Yeah, because the question is, will Michigan vault Cincinnati? No. They very well could, only for the fact that the playoff committee knows the rankings don't matter, and Ohio and Michigan is coming up. So making that 3 or 4,
You mean this week?
This upcoming week. I misunderstood the question.
Yes, this week, sure. They could get real fucking fancy and be like, look, it's going to be a 3 versus 4. We're all so excited. You know, because I think you have to understand that the college football committee's job is publicity. That's all they are is a tabloid in the form of 1 through 25, right? So long as it's cool enough and grabs enough headlines and grabs enough eyeballs, it's doing its fucking job. And your boy will even come on the fucking camera and talk shit about how head-to-head doesn't fucking matter. Like, okay, buddy, sure. Cool. No problem. We hear you. We understand you want your fucking virality or you want your hashtags, whatever. But 3 and 4 will happen, and just like every week, it doesn't fucking matter because that's not the playoff outcome, right?
Right.
So 4 will be knocked the fuck away. Cincinnati will, I think, inevitably, because you're then faced with a rock and a hard place committee, right? Let's talk about your head-to-head, and let's talk about two teams right next to each other in the rankings, okay? Because are you going to say enough of Notre Dame's work undermines undefeated Cincinnati? Are you going to do it? Because
they could totally do it. They might
I will
just
live
do it
on Twitter for 48 hours if you do that. I will not let go of that platform. Oh, my God.
And the best part is I can see them doing it this week just to fuck with people.
Just to
keep
say, it alive.
This
yeah,
is,
just
this
to
is
keep
where
it.
Our head is at right now. We see Notre Dame as a more complete team than Cincinnati. And the absolute nuclear explosion that will happen. And I'm begging all of you right now. You gotta, if you're not a wrestling fan, let me introduce you to a term. It's called kayfabe. All right, you may have heard Eddie mention it before on our Picks podcast. Like, oh, kayfabe's always alive. This is when you know it's a work, you know it's all fake, you know it's all bullshit, but you act like it is super real.
You buy in.
For what? If it happens, just completely, you got to do the heel turn. Go completely into it on Twitter, everyone else. Like, just don't make an argument. Parrot the shit that they give you and just repeat it over and over again.
You want to know why kayfabe works so well? It's because people fucking love to be outraged.
Yes.
People fucking love to be to have any manufactured reason to be like, I cannot stand for this. And here's why. And that's all part. That's what Twitter is. Twitter is like, here's what I'm screaming about for the next 15 minutes. That's why everyone goes on there. When it says what's happening, it's what's happening. It's not, hey, what's happening? It's what is happening. Okay.
Especially on Tuesday night. Oh God, I just realized this is going to happen in the middle of the sim. Yes.
It's going to happen in the middle of the sim. We're going to be sleepwalking through a Notre Dame, maybe Stanford beating sim Notre Dame. We're barely going to be paying attention. You'll call a play, and I'll say, fucking number 3, Cincinnati, bitch. Or something, you know what I mean? It'll be fine.
Man.
But that's why the kayfabe works, because everyone wants to be outraged. So I genuinely now think I agree with your prediction as an actual outcome. Not as like a LOL, what if. Like, I think Michigan will be 4th, Ohio State will kick their ass, and the following week the committee will pull the longest, craziest, curliest hair right out their asshole and show it on the screen and say, check out Notre Dame, number 4, and drop it. Okay? And then
there's
everything will fall apart. But I think it's part just because they know that they can get away with it for a week. Because ultimately, Cincinnati's going to win another game or play another game. And if they win, they'll be like, we were just kidding. Okay, 13-0 Cincinnati.
Yeah, here that's no guarantee. Houston's been playing some good football, and they still got to make it through ECU first.
That, I guarantee you, would be the gamble by the committee. They'd say, I am willing to put all my chips on the table to say Cincinnati will either prove us wrong one last time or fuck off.
It's what happened with Michigan State and Michigan. It's literally what happened. It was a problem until it wasn't, and it's no longer a problem.
I think you're right, dude. I think this Michigan will be 4th. They'll slide them out when Ohio State wins, and then they'll fucking put Notre Dame at 4th and let everyone just cry tears of blood all over the land.
Because they can change their minds the next week. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, who cares? It's all arbitrary. We just decided today. It's going to be this week. 7 days. You're all going to be miserable. Good luck.
Have fun during championship week, everybody. Bye.
Yeah, we'll see you guys. We'll talk about conferences. We'll talk about conferences. Come back when we can talk about conferences.
well, there'll be some more data points, so we can talk about Cincinnati later. Oh, God, I will be so there for
they're
it.
They're just trolling now. I think they're just a troll job.
And I'm also convinced part of it is to kind of speed up the conversation around the expansion is kind of, okay, let's ratify this like now. So things
those
feel
teams.
Really,
teams.
Really fucky this year, more so than usual. And I'm thinking that's a little part of it too, especially when you start looking at like the mid to bottom part of the rankings, the AKA they're there to justify the top of the rankings. There's been some weird shit, man. Like, i.e., Mississippi State popping in there continuously. But yeah, Notre Dame, they got a shot, man. They got a great shot. And it's going to be like, fantastic. And
a not insignificant shot.
And here's the best part. If they make it, awesome. We are so fucked because we got to play Georgia. If we don't make it, we weren't expecting to make it in anyway. We're going to have a fun-ass bowl game. But we have been talking about a potential matchup for a Notre Dame-Michigan bowl game. Yep. Let me just throw this out here. Because, you know, we're dreaming big. I'm going to dream huge here. Michigan and Harbaugh, they finally do it. They beat Ohio State. They win a Big Ten championship.
Oh, shit.
Meanwhile, Notre Dame slides in by some way, shape, or form.
Well, they make it to the playoffs. Ohio State will see itself out. Yeah.
And then you got a combination. You know, maybe Cincinnati's in there. Maybe it's Bama. It doesn't matter in this scenario because Notre Dame's the four seed, no matter how you slice it.
Okay.
Notre Dame pulls off the upset of all upsets with Georgia. They go to the national title game and plays Michigan for the goddamn title.
You are simultaneously hitting a very significant fantasy portion of my brain and the most significant existential dread scenario of my brain possible.
Because I think no
60-minute, 60-minute game clock, so 3.5 fucking hour period, would stress me out more.
The whole mega cast of Notre Dame and Michigan for all the marbles.
Oh, my God. I would hate it, but I would also love it.
Talk about a way to blow this sucker up.
No, but could you also, talk about a way to blow up the entire concept of your rankings. Like, are you kidding me? Like, okay, so Georgia beat Alabama, so we overreacted and we made Alabama fifth, but oh shit, that means Notre Dame is fourth, Cincinnati is second. Is that Michigan at number three? What the fuck happened here? Where did all the red teams go? There was supposed to be more red.
Wait a second. How do we end up with Michigan at two and Cincinnati at three? What happened here? Where are my pants?
Yeah, yes. I left the house. Am I not? Oh, God, I'm not wearing pants. Yeah.
What did I do last night? Oh, God.
I would hate that so much, but at the same time, that would be the ultimate, like, just fuck this entire setup, I think, argument. Especially for Notre Dame to be the one to creep in and snatch it. Oh, my God.
If above all else, I mean, we are so in fantasy land. I understand that, but we take a fucking title away from Harbaugh, Michigan, after they finally beat Ohio State.
Oh,
would be the funniest. I mean, talk about fucking off forever and never looking back. Oh my dear God!
No, dude, I would want every single player on the Notre Dame team that is draft eligible to get the fuck out of town after that. Just go. Just never come back. No one was here. We know your name, your number isn't registered. We got rid of your records. No one was on this team. Just get out. Just go.
BK's going to retire. Jack Schwarbrick, as he's looking on a Tatooine, they're just going to build a statue of him right there. And he'll never be seen from again. He's going to dissipate into the Force.
Bronze. They'll just bronze his essence and he'll fade into nothingness.
Oh my God. Oh yes, you know you want it to happen. But
I kinda do.
Other fun stuff that happened during the game. Apparently
in actual reality. Okay, let's
see. Yeah, back to real. Well, somebody creating their own reality. Mr. Brian Fisher, who covers some teams out in LA, apparently things weren't going so well in a certain rivalry and between a couple of LA teams. Didn't seem like anybody was there. Lots of good tickets available. So instead, while covering that game, this guy decides, and I like him, which is why this was so weird. When it scores 55-0, he finds a clip of Kelly just looking bored as shit. Like, just waiting for the clock to run out, just arms crossed. You know, that the stoic BK just, fucking whatever look. He doesn't even look mad. Yet, he posts, like, even with a 55-point lead, always miserable. And I'm like, oh, fuck you, dude. Sweet the dog sauce. Pile commences immediately. Our good friend and loyal listener, Father Soren Ramblers, posted a collage of pictures
of Brian Kelly smiling.
Yeah, which actually, I'm going to retweet out of context completely on my account right now.
Please do it. It deserves it. I that was the one where I stopped and I was like, that is fucking hilarious. They were like, yeah. Just nothing quite hits me on social media like an overcorrection. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to get blocked today. I'm not even drunk. I'm just happy about this game, and I don't care if some sports writer from LA decides I can no longer see his tweets. Whatever. Very little will be lost, in my opinion, as far as my personal enjoyment. So I'm like, yeah, great pull. You know, he's been yucking it up all game. Good job. Whatever. And then somebody DMs me a photo of, like, right after Kaiser scores a touchdown. Like, hey, you want to post this? I'm like, sure do. So
I sure do.
I posted that right off. And once the game was done, and BK, I saw he just had the huge shit-eating grin. Like, he was just so happy. So everything happy. Went so perfectly. I went on my phone. I opened up YouTube TV. I scrolled back to that moment in time, clipped it from my phone, posted it to Twitter. And what does he do? He says, he comes back and quote tweets my picture. It's like, well, after a 55-point win, Brian Kelly, happy as he should. However, this season has aged him every 60 minutes. Like, no, they're all, oh, my God.
Bro. Okay.
It is amazing. And this is why I want everybody to do the heel turn if and when Notre Dame ends up in the top four, because fuck all these narratives. I'm so sick of it. I am going to piss everybody off.
Yeah, man. Okay. So it sounds like this is a case of somebody who got bored watching a Kelly try on a bunch of Trojans and decided to direct his attention to a different Kelly over something completely trivial. Because, I mean, I understand that USC didn't have enough going on for you to watch UCLA, you know, just pants him. But, like, there is nothing here. The first thing that Mr. Fisher went after was Brian Kelly. I mean, he's just resting bitch facing. Yeah. Just like all coaches, every fucking coach has this in their repertoire. The stoic, no expression, seemingly frustrated just because that's kind of part of the job look of watching your team exist. He was literally just arms crossed in the cold, fucking 45 points up, looking, just looking. It, you know, happening to not have an expression. God fucking forbid he happens to not have an expression. Have we looked at Nick Saban speaking of fucking aging? That motherfucker, not only is he 70, he looks like fucking Emperor Palpatine at this fucking point on those Aflac commercials trying to bend over. That dude can't even fucking juke to save his life. We got, but you have more attention to give Brian Kelly just because? I mean, are you sad that you're out of purple faces? Do you miss it? You know, we miss it. But, I mean, it seems like you need the content because you're reaching, dude. And then on top of that, to not just about face and accept, yeah, you guys are right, I was wrong. Let me just take the L. It's just classic social media bullshit. Like, come on, dude. More effort next time.
Yeah, more effort. And you know, you don't have to do the half walk back.
Yeah, if you're going to start, keep going.
Actually, or you can ignore my ass. You can block me, too.
Say
I am
nothing.
Insignificant little ass blocker, dude. Honestly, all I would have done is I would have been, LOL, he blocked me. We would have laughed and moved on, and nobody would have remembered it. But no, you megaphoned it to your audience that some asshole from Texas will not let you live it down.
Just the idea that this season aged him, you mean success? Ah, fucking crippling. Ugh. Debilitating stuff that's success.
This one, I mean, at the beginning, there were some rough points, but after the bye week, it's been fairly smooth sailing.
Brian Kelly's been coaching for like 30 some odd years. I don't think this is the one that's going to catch him like, oh, I wasn't expecting this. Come on.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. It was also fun watching the marshmallows. Apparently, some students were kicked out and some people were mad about it.
Really? Look, yeah. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it's leaked a couple places. And look, a couple things about that. One, I have no idea if students were kicked out or not. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Could be true, could be not. I would not be surprised. because usually the MO of the ushers is to try to find the people that smuggled them all in and to make an example of them, kick them out. Now, there's a reason the seniors are the ones that do this. Back when I was going, it was like everybody, and they really tried to crack down because the rumor, and this is very much the drugs are in your Halloween candy territory, because I can't verify this happened. I just, you know, heard. Now, this if somebody's got some proof or paper clipping,
so it's
by
bullshit,
all means,
is what you're saying.
Send it, to me. But yes, apparently people are like putting rocks and dimes and, you know, hit the donors in the gold seats is the rumor. So therefore, yes, exactly. So therefore, serious crackdown on marshmallows.
Like,
I think
yourselves?
People just didn't want to clean the shit up because
they didn't want to clean it.
And it's a mess to clean up. It's fucking marshmallows, and when it gets cold and frozen, that's a mess, man. You know, it's easier to honestly, when it's sticky and heat, at least it peels. So anyway, back it up. So that's why the seniors are the only ones that do it now. Because you kick them out of the game, well, shit, I missed the second half. I will go to a bar and watch it. And they will confiscate my empty ticket book. No big deal. So, but you also have to realize, our friends at NBC, Jack Collinsworth was down there encouraging the marshmallows to get thrown
more
at
more marshmallows.
You have Tirico and Breeze talking about it in the booth for a good solid 5 to 10 minutes. So you could put as much, and Shane, I shit you not, there were shots of people saying no marshmallows around here, and it was the fucking Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters. You could put as many of those fucking signs up as you want. At a certain point, you have to figure out that this, you know, you don't have to encourage it, because the moment you encourage it, somebody will take it too far.
Yes.
You just have to realize you're not going to stop it, so you got to figure out how you're going to lean into it, okay?
Right.
So my encouragement is figure out a way to lean into it. Discourage it, yes. If you want to put up those signs, make the sign goofier every year. Make that a bit. Make it your next crazy train. But just, NBC has let the cat so far out of the bag, they made it sound like this was a tradition that had been going on since fucking Father Sorn was walking around the lakes founding the university chucking marshmallows. At that point, it's over, man.
Yeah, you lost. It's over. I mean, it's not hard to imagine ways to make this, like, interactive even. I mean, you got a leprechaun running around fucking screaming at cameras. You might as well get him to get a fucking trash can and put other team mascots on it or some bullshit. Like, hit me. Fucking
start
come
begging
get me.
Them. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, or get ushers out there walking around with, like, giant cutouts being like, aim at me. Come fucking get me. Just fucking pelt that motherfucker. Like, every TV timeout, like, you could just make it something where it's like, we'll control the funneling of the actual marshmallows to single fucking spots.
Yeah.
Just past the mums or whatever the fuck. Just past the beds. Hit us right down here. Not at the bench. Not at the seats. Just kind of aim for us here or whatever. And anything that stays in the stands, that's easy. We can fucking leaf blow that down to the bottom level and scoop it back. It's not hard. They're just being dicks about it.
They are. And look, I understand those things can hurt in the cold. My senior year, I was hit twice. Yeah. Once in each eye, and legitimately stung. I could not believe, one, my shit luck. Two, it was hilarious. Awesome. To the point to where I posed, like, with the marshmallow, acting like I was getting hit mid-shot with one of my friends taking it. One of my favorite photos from the football season. So, yeah, like, get the ushers there. Give them goggles, man.
Goggles,
like, they're in the fucking
man.
Locker room. Like,
yeah.
And can you imagine? Like, you also got to find the ushers that can actually, you know, take a joke.
Yeah.
I understand that part of it too, but you can imagine the seniors getting a chance, like, oh man, I'm gonna give it to those ushers, and then it's harmless, like, it doesn't even fucking hurt, it goes off of them, whatever, and then out of nowhere, well, we're going one step further, when everybody thinks it's safe and it's over, they put the signs down, out from under that big ass yellow vest, they just bring out marshmallow guns, just start fucking
just
pelting the
just
students.
This is why I was going to say we should do this, because the seniors will be the ones attacking from the stands, and the ushers that will bring out the cardboard cutouts and the guns will be underclassmen. We'll have like a nice, we'll have a battle. We'll have a specific, like, you can do a lottery or something for, like, you guys get to be the 10 ushers that are going to go out there and be mascot targets, all right? five on one side, five on the other, or four on one side, four on the other, one in either end zone. You guys, basically your job is to try to get marshmallowed to shit. Heaviest bucket at the end wins, or whatever the fuck, you give them their own little internal prizes. But the idea is, like, you guys do that for the first three quarters. In the fourth quarter, the game is fucking on. You guys get guns, and you get to fire back. How about that shit?
It would be absolutely incredible.
It'd be fucking amazing. And that would maybe cost, that would cost the administration, I'm thinking of Home Depot supplies and enough t-shirt guns from Amazon to maybe cost like $300. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be difficult. It would be a lot of fun. I would be down for that.
Yes, it would be absolutely awesome. Like, look, just have fun with it. Especially when, again, you got an alumnus on the field in a suit, like, begging to be pelted on the sidelines.
Yeah, hit him.
And I'm glad they did it. I'm really glad they did it because it really, and like I said, Emmy, their senior day broadcast is always good. I felt like they hit another level because they had to. And it was just, it actually felt like you were watching a Notre Dame channel broadcast all the way down to, we got an alumnus on the field saying, hit me with marshmallows. And you got this Purdue quarterback. I never knew they threw marshmallows up here. This is so fucking weird, man.
It's okay. Yeah. I'm like, you guys are into trains anyway. but yeah, I mean, it just feels like, Every new senior day, they try to touch back on this. Like, you could tell the first couple times that Tarico had joined the broadcast, it wasn't really, there was nothing to steer into. It was just like a lot of information to process, and everyone's like, I'm not really sure what's going on here. Let's not talk about it. But, you know, this year you could just get the sense that, like, especially when the result of the game, like, you can't create national narratives, dude, when you're staring at a stadium full of people celebrating with these tiny little white pellets while the team is fucking trouncing their
opponent. And every now and then you just see, like, one, and because we're doing it too, by the way. We're trying to throw them as high as we can just to get on the screen.
Up into the camera. That was one of my favorite things in the fourth quarter. They were zooming in on the play right before Buckner snaps, and then one single marshmallow. I was like, yeah, perfect.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I tell you what, we'll give credit where credit's due. I did make fun of Breeze a little bit there. He's actually been good in the booth, much better than I expected.
He's been the first one that they've tried to just trot it out and kind of blended in seamlessly, no problem.
Yeah, and so I mean, as far as what we got for a broadcast year one, I was especially skeptical because I'm like, hey, Dungy's pretty good at this. Like, you really want to, you know, chuck them out just because you hope it's like, are we trying to like play the Tony Romo card? And we just assume, hey, Troy Aikman, Tony Romo, hey, Drew Brees, let's see if it works. It's worked. I've been legitimately impressed, especially when, you know, I'm like, oh God, he's going to be insufferable when Purdue comes into town. He was not. He's actually pretty good at his job. And I will not mind him being there for a while. So, you know, kudos, hey, NBC. It was a good year.
I have no qualms saying he taught me about Duo. He's been pounding that hammer, but like, I didn't really quite piece it together. And then now every time I see it, I'm like, they're about to fucking get 10, 15 yards. This is no problem because it works. And he keeps pointing it out. He's like, that's their shit. That is their bread and butter. Tommy Rees loves Duo. And I'm like, oh my God, he does. I keep seeing it. Oh my God.
And it's one thing I do like about him is that he has the good mix of football nerd, but realizes we all don't speak it. Like, as much as I love the Manning cast, when I get a chance to catch him on Monday Night Football,
different language.
they are speaking complete football language. And it's like, I kind of know what they're talking about in some cases, but they're not explaining it very well. But the reason why they work is because they're two brothers fucking around with each other. So it works on a different level.
Yeah.
Drew Brees is like, okay, here's the technical terminology, and here's what it means. And he's able to do it really quick, very brief, very concise, and is able to do it almost seamlessly with the replays as well, which is just freaking amazing. That's a talent to have. Like, you know, Tony Romo, he's out there predicting plays or attempting to predict plays.
Yeah.
Troy Aikman, as much as, you know, I love him as a Cowboys quarterback, he's extremely bland. You know, he provides insight, but it's not to the deep level. And, you know, John Madden back in the day was just, oh, whap, 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 let me draw shit all over the board. And I loved it. Like, I felt like I knew football watching Madden. So it's like a more mature version of Madden and Drew Brees right now. I think it works great for a college football broadcast where you get to you need to explain these concepts because every team that comes in is radically different from the last one. It's like you go to Navy to whatever the fuck Georgia Tech is doing, and then you got Marcus Freeman doing whatever the fuck happened, and nobody recognizes it because this ain't Clark Lee's defense anymore. I was a fan. So, yeah, good time. Good hell of a home season.
Yeah, honestly, can't complain. Loss to Cincinnati aside, like, even that game, like, just in retrospect, you can look back at it and say, like, they earned that loss at the time.
Oh,
yeah. Didn't feel stolen. Didn't feel like, oh, the fucking refs cost it to it. It was Cincinnati beat them soundly, double digits. Notre Dame just didn't show up. But now you see the product on the field and you're like, that could – I feel comfortable saying that that could be the last time for a while that we see that play out that way. You know, yep. if Notre Dame loses, it'll be a humbling experience because of Georgia did it to you. It won't be because you let Cincinnati get one over on you because you didn't fully show up. You know, it's a totally different vibe. And now, like you said, now the home season's over, it feels like a really complete product. And it's just like one more to go, handle Stanford on the road, and then let it play out.
Yeah, you got it, and really, you feel like this team doesn't want to give up a touchdown, too.
No.
To the point where we didn't even bring up the sad field goal attempt.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the half, they're like, oh, we can tell where this is going. We're going to put up we're going to put up points now, and they, MTA had a day. MTA blocked that fucker.
It. Yeah.
I have never been more happy about a field goal block in my life than watching the sad field goal attempt. Oh God, we just need points. Go nowhere. Awesome.
It the second it didn't clear the line, I was like, wow, that's not, oh my God, that didn't even touch the ground. Sad. I really wanted the shutout. I didn't expect the shutout. And especially when Tyler Buchner was fucking around and like, oh God, he's fumbling, but he recovered it thankfully. But you could tell he's cutting, like, they're letting him be loose. They're letting him just kind of make a choice at whatever time he wants to make a choice. He's going to cost them field position, or they're going to give up a stupid one, and it's going to be like, God damn it, there goes the 3 points, or whatever. No, in that moment, it was like, they blocked it. It's halftime. It's already, does that say 45? They're fucked. I don't think this is happening, you know? And I think at that point, you can feel pretty confident that Marcus Freeman went into the locker room and pointed really hard at that zero and said, I want to see that shit still there at the end of this fucking game. You know?
You could even see the fire in BK's speech, what little we got to see of it. It was very much, good job, guys. You know, it was no. It's like,
no.
You got a whole half of football brand left. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like our level of excellence. You're like, oh, yeah baby, like, just go.
The shutout.
It's like, let's go pitch that shutout. Lots of fun. Go ahead, Shane.
I was just going to say, after what Cal did to Stanford, we'll transition over here into the Patreon podcast after that. But after what Cal did to Stanford, I don't think they're going to score some fucking points.
Nope. It'll be prime time for whatever fucking reason Fox wanted it to be. I was hoping we would get to have the Michigan-Ohio State, and we get to take the slot right after just to lead into it.
Nap.
And enjoy the night slate for the rest of the rivalry game. But hey, at least I can experience the Iron Bowl without distraction. Yeah. So there we go.
Interrupted.
I'll take that. But yeah, that's going to be it for us. Like Shane says, we will have the Patreon pod. We got a lot of fun stuff to chat about. It was it was a good week. But folks, that is going to be it. Oh, before I forget and hit the outro, again, The Sim, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/LittleSons. But also, Eddie and I are recording the Picks Pod that afternoon. So you will have a podcast release of the Picks Wednesday. I'll probably release them both in the morning. So Wednesday morning, you will have both a Picks Pod and you will have a Sim waiting for you. So as you're preparing, running around doing errands for Thanksgiving Day, you'll have the content to consume. And if you got to go right away from your family before the Egg Bowl, you could just keep consuming it. We got you covered.
Yeah, by the way, don't do that. If you don't wait till Tuesday or Wednesday. Get your fresh your produce tomorrow. Do not wait.
Yeah.
Monday.
Get your turkey out of the freezer now, especially if you're frying
now,
it.
Now.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That is all we got. Of course, thank you for subscribing to this little old podcast. Make sure you keep doing so over at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to join us in Discord at herlittlesons.com/discord. Twitch.tv/herlittlesons is where you can find us Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Central. And, of course, you can always find us at HerLittleSons.com. Until next time, y'all, go Irish, big trees, be dumb to lose now. Have a good one.